responsible for building all these great models.
Some of them are mine.
By Robert Brogan.
Oh, sure. Wow.
You've got a few in here as well.
Oh, yeah. I got
$1 million worth of models in
one
here.
One there, the B-25, the X-300, the big sailplane, and the red and yellow one right there.
Great.
And the little biplane one.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be fun.
I had forgotten, of course, about Bob's program's major RC background.
Yeah, Bob actually didn't build too many. These were all built by a Bob and a Bob Pitt.
He's out in Silverstone.
Abel's son, he's fun.
Is he retiring soon?
Well, we've got
Do they still get taken down and fallen out of the scripture?
No, none of these. Basically, none of these probably would fly. They're way too heavy.
Oh, well, that's fair.
They just way too heavy. Bob is a tremendous builder, fabulous builder, but builds them so damn heavy he couldn't fly.
The meeting of the Carson City Airport Authority will please come to order. Let the record show that we are meeting in the terminal building at the Carson City Airport on Wednesday, December 5th, 2012, at 6 p.m. May we have the roll call, please?
Chairperson Norvo?
Present.
Vice Chairperson Williams?
Here.
Member Hutter?
Here.
Member English?
Yes.
Member DiLoretta Long? Member Fossa?
Here.
Member Sela?
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. Will you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. And before we proceed further with the meeting, I'd like to make a presentation. Actually, two presentations. First, Mr. Alex Carter, if you would come up and join me.
Sure. Is this where he does the fake
Mr. Carter served on the board October 2008 to October 2012, representing Click Bond here at the Carson City Airport as a fixed base operator, industrial seat on the board. That's right. And Alex did yeoman's work over those 4 years. We had many meetings in his office, and particularly served well as our secretary treasurer, and really kept us on track with our budgeting, and that ends up being an awful lot of work. And so, Alex, on behalf of the Airport Authority and the people of Carson City, I would like to present you this plaque. And
thank you.
For a job well done.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed the time I spent.
Well,
except
you know,
for the rock dissertation.
Alex, you know, on the surface, never gets upset. Now, he may be boiling inside, I don't know. Alex is always kind of...
You've never gotten an email from Alex.
There you go.
Actually, I have gotten a couple
now. You mentioned head there.
Anyway, thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Carlos. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Jenna, would you come forward, please, for El Arrow? We have this plaque for Mr. John Kelly, who served for the same period of time, October 2008 to October 2012, as our fixed-base operator representative on the Airport Authority representing El Arrow. And John also served as vice chairman, has lots of experience on the airport in dealing with our tenants, and was a huge help, you know, in many of the challenges that we had, whether it was a snow removal or a tie down parking or, you know, mediating differences between our tenant population. John was also a very steady hand and provided a great deal of input and was valuable to the Airport Authority. So for John Kelly, on behalf of the Airport Authority, Jenna, I would like to present this plaque.
He wanted to be here tonight, and he sends his apologies. He's working, so thank you.
John is always working.
As he should.
He is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Oh, and I have, if you would like these, drop that on your toe or something. Okay, next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of past meetings of the Airport Authority, and we have up for approval the minutes of October 17th and October 24th. Do we have any comments from board members who were present for those meetings with respect to the minutes? If no comments, then the chair would entertain a motion for approval.
I move to approve the minutes for the meeting October 17th, 2012.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, stand in need of a motion to approve the minutes for October 24th.
Approve the minutes for the meeting of October 24th.
Do we have a second?
Yep.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the minutes of October 24th are carried unanimously as well. Thank you. Modification of the agenda. There'll be no modification of tonight's agenda in that we have one agenda item. Public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Airport Authority may speak on agendized and non-agendized matters related to the airport. Please limit your comments, if you have any, to approximately 3 minutes. And if your item requires extended discussion, please let me know and we will calendar that for a future Airport Authority meeting. Any members of the public who might wish to comment? Seeing none, we're on to item number F, consent. We have no items on consent for tonight. Item number G, public hearings. Discussion and possible action to update the airport capital improvement program for fiscal years 2014 through 2018. Mr. Clegg.
Great. Thank you. This is an action item to get consensus from the Airport Authority to present the ACIP as presented in the email that I sent to you. What happens every year is we update the ACIP for the airport and submit it to the FAA so that they can program funding for airport capital improvement projects.
And that is on the last page of your airport engineer's brief for those of you.
So, in any case, we submit this ACIP on a yearly basis. We can update it if necessary, but typically we'll submit it to the FAA. And before we make the official submittal, we sit down, we meet with them, and we discuss the proposed ACIP. And this is what we propose to submit to them and present to them next week. We have a meeting with them on Thursday. They have verbally informed us that they plan to fund the reconstruction of phase one for the main apron this year. I'm sorry, in 2013, which is coming soon. And then it just makes sense to proceed with phase two in the year 2014. And then we would start reconstruction of the north apron, probably in two phases, depending on funding. But in general, the FAA wants to limit funds to the Carson City Airport around $1.5 million. And so that's what I tried to do, was separate these projects into chunks that they can really take care of. Typically in the ECIP, they really take the first 2 to 3 years seriously. From then on, it's kind of a wish list. And so one of the items I put in there was the snow removal equipment storage building. The FAA won't pay for terminals for a general aviation airport, but they will pay for buildings that where you house a snow plow or something like that to keep the airport operational. And as part of that equipment storage building, you can actually build offices. So, essentially what it is it's another way of saying terminal building. And so, I put it in there. I put an arbitrary project total of $4 million. I mean, I've got no idea. Like I said, the outlying years in the ACIP are really kind of a wish list thing. And then over the years, we've had several projects that airport authority members have brought up, and I lumped them all into 2018. And one's to replace the automatic gates, another's to put in an emergency generator down at the electrical vault. The perimeter road is in very poor shape, and we've always programmed that to be get an overlay. And then we're going to have to start thinking about pavement maintenance on the good pavements that we have, and start preserving that pavement so that it doesn't start turning into what we've got here on the main apron.
And that'll still be covered by entitlement funding?
Yes. Pavement maintenance is eligible under entitlement funds. Every year, the Carson City Airport and all other GA airports throughout Nevada are eligible for $150,000 from the FAA to be used towards eligible projects, and one of the eligible projects is pavement maintenance.
Jim, what about our fence?
The fence is also eligible. Actually, that replace automatic gates.
Does that include the fence?
Yeah, there's some fence in there to make it whole. But it isn't including the wire fence around the east end.
Oh, it's not?
No, that would be a separate project.
I mean, we've been talking for years about that, but...
Then we ought to put it in. And I'll lump it in...
Board members understand what we're referring to?
Yeah, the fence down on the
yeah, instead of the barbed wire cow fence out there, you know, we were hoping, you know, at some point to have a chain link fence all the way around the airport.
Just and, from the safety aspect, it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know that, you know, we would ever seek a Part 139 approval for the airport, but certainly we'd never get it without a fence.
That's correct, except that a Part 139 airport requires 8-foot high fences. You'd have to replace all the fences.
Well.
Now, what's Part 139? What is that?
Oh, that's a commercial airport.
Okay.
So not for any air carrier operation
121, part 121.
121.
You have to get
to fund the reconstruction of phase one for the main apron this year. I'm sorry, in 2013, mm-hmm. which is coming soon. And then it just makes sense to proceed with phase two in the year 2014. And then we would start reconstruction of the north apron, probably in two phases, depending on funding. But in general, the FAA wants to limit funds to the Carson City Airport around $1.5 million. And so that's what I tried to do, was to separate these projects into chunks that they can really take care of. Typically in the ECIP, they really take the first 2 to 3 years seriously. From then on, it's kind of a wish list. And so one of the items I put in there was the snow removal equipment storage building. The FAA won't pay for terminals for a general aviation airport, but they will pay for buildings that where you house a snow plow or something like that to keep the airport operational. And as part of that equipment storage building, you can actually build offices. So, essentially what it is it's another way of saying terminal building. And so, I put it in there. I put an arbitrary project total of $4 million. I mean, I've got no idea. Like I said, the outlying years in the ACIP are really kind of a wish list thing. And then over the years, we've had several projects that airport authority members have brought up. And I lumped them all into 2018. And one's to replace the automatic gates. Another's to put in an emergency generator down at the electrical vault. The perimeter road is in very poor shape, and we've always programmed that to be get an overlay. And then we're going to have to start thinking about pavement maintenance on the good pavements that we have, and start preserving that pavement so that it doesn't start turning into what we've got here on the main apron.
And that'll still be covered by entitlement funding?
Yes. Pavement maintenance is eligible under entitlement funds. Every year, the Carson City Airport and all other GA airports throughout Nevada are eligible for $150,000 from the FAA to be used towards eligible projects, and one of the eligible projects is pavement maintenance.
Jim, what about our fence?
The fence is also eligible. Actually, that replace automatic gates.
Does that include the fence?
Yeah, there's some fence in there to make it whole. But it isn't including the wire fence around the east end.
Oh, it's not?
No, that would be a separate project.
I mean, we've been talking for years about that, but
then we ought to put it in. And I'll lump it in.
Board members understand what we're referring to?
Yeah, the fence down on the
yeah, instead of the barbed wire cow fence out there, you know, we were hoping, you know, at some point to have a chain link fence all the way around the airport.
And from the safety aspect, it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know that, you know, we would ever seek a Part 139 approval for the airport, but certainly we'd never get it without a fence.
That's correct, except that a Part 139 airport requires 8-foot high fences. You'd have to replace all the fences.
Well.
Now, what's Part 139? What is that?
Oh, that's a commercial airport.
Okay.
So
So for any air carrier operation, 121, part 121.
121.
You have to get to
121.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that.
Which we don't ever anticipate, really. You know, but
if you had charter service here, you might be able to get by with defenses.
But the security aspects of Part 139 approval are attractive to corporate operators and attractive to insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was my thought, but.
The difference is between an 8-foot high chain link fence versus six.
Yeah. So, I mean, some airports have just put extensions on their existing fence. That's what they did at Elko.
Well, but we just get a high estimate the next time somebody crashes through the fence.
That's perfect. And then as they crash, you can just replace the fence.
You need a lot of
Is
there so what I'll do then is I'll add a perimeter fence to 2018.
Well, we should keep talking about it.
Yeah.
You know.
The whole idea of listing those projects under 2018 is so that we don't forget about desires. And that's a desire, we should put it in there.
Where's our generator at, Jim? Did we give up on that? Or?
No, it's on there.
It's in there. Yeah, number
it's
six.
It's in the
I see it. I'm sorry.
Hey, Jim, any work that we might be able to do out there in the triangle is... Is any of that startup funded? Kind of like I'm thinking in terms of what Stead Airport did when they got the grant to put those pavement areas in, delineating where hangar projects could be built. So they got money to put the pavement in, even though they had no buildings.
That's
Is there anything that we could put in our wish list to?
We can do that.
Because it might help accelerate development out there if something like that were done.
We have a problem with the master plan. As far as the center triangle is concerned, i.e. the Bell Road access and the splitting in two of Taxiway Charlie, we never really solved that issue. And the last thing we told the FAA, if I'm not mistaken, is that we were going to permanently split Taxiway Charlie, and that was not an option that anybody liked, but we couldn't figure out what else to do.
And maybe that's some work discussing with them next week.
It's in the master plan.
Just because it's in the master plan doesn't mean you have to do it. But we need to verify that.
Well, eventually we're going to have to do something anyway, because if the airport does get busier, I mean, right now the only way to the north side hangars is Taxiway Bravo. And at some point we're going to want to try to get vehicles off of Bravo.
On that same topic of the master plan, first of all, everything you want, it should be in here as a starting point, because it's impossible to add stuff in later. It's much easier for the FAA to say, no, we're not going to do this and not going to do that. But in terms of the master plan, we are probably due for either a new master plan or a master plan update. And once before, we got caught in the situation, actually, when we first started on the plan, the master plan we have today, we had gotten funding to redo the runway, and then the FAA put the brakes on the funding, saying, oh, wait a second, you haven't had a master plan for 10 years.
And this has been about 12 years.
Yeah, this has been 12 years. We did do an update on our master plan in about 5 or 6 years. But, I guess what I'm suggesting is maybe we should have funding in here for a master plan at some step here, too.
Tim and I actually talked about that before the meeting. In one thought, at a lot of airports, we've done the geometry for the airport, so I don't know if a master plan is really necessary, but in lieu of a master plan, what you can do is an ALP update, which is a short form of doing a master plan.
Well,
the master plan in the past made sense because we were changing the geometry, but now
if we were going to do that, we would have to probably or might probably want to show something in the center triangle.
Yeah.
And the question then becomes vehicular access to the center triangle, given the increase in the vehicular traffic flow that we would have as a result of hangars there, people coming through gate four and trying to 121.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that
which we don't ever anticipate, story. Really. You know, but
if you had charter service here, you might be able to get by with the fences.
But the security aspects of Part 139 approval are attractive to corporate operators and attractive to insurance companies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was my thought. But
the okay. difference is between an 8-foot high chain link fence versus 6.
So, I mean, some airports have just put extensions on their existing fence. That's what they did at Elko.
Well, but we just get a high estimate the next time somebody crashes through the fence.
That's perfect. And then as they crash, you can just replace the fence. Yeah.
Need a lot of
okay.
Is
there so what I'll do then is I'll add a perimeter fence to 2018.
Well, we should keep talking about it.
Yeah.
You know.
The whole idea of listing those projects under 2018 is so that we don't forget about desires. And that's a desire, we should put it in there.
Where's our generator at, Jim? Did we give up on that? Or
no, it's on there.
It's in there, yeah, number
it's
6.
It's on the... It's in
oh,
the
I see it. I'm sorry.
Hey, Jim, any work that we might be able to do out there in the triangle is... Is any of that startup funded? Kind of like I'm thinking in terms of what Stead Airport did when they got the grant to put those pavement areas in, delineating where hangar projects could be built. So they got money to put the pavement in, even though they had no buildings.
That's
Is
correct.
There anything that we could put in our wish list to?
We can do that.
Is that it might help accelerate development out there if something like that were
but
done?
We have a problem with the master plan. As far as the center triangle is concerned, i.e. the Bell Road access and the splitting in two of Taxiway Charlie, we never really solved that issue. And the last thing we told the FAA, if I'm not mistaken, is that we were going to permanently split Taxiway Charlie, and that was not an option that anybody liked, but we couldn't figure out what else to do.
And maybe that's some work discussing with them next week.
It's in the master plan.
Just because it's in the master plan doesn't mean you have to do it. But we need to verify that.
Well, eventually we're going to have to do something anyway, because if the airport does get busier, I mean, right now the only way to the north side hangars is Taxiway Bravo. And at some point we're going to want to try to get vehicles off of Bravo.
On that same topic of the master plan, first of all, everything you want, it should be in here as a starting point, because it's impossible to add stuff in later. It's much easier for the FAA to say, no, we're not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. But in terms of the master plan, we are probably due for either a new master plan or a master plan update. And once before, we got caught in the situation, actually, when we first started on the plan, the master plan we have today, we had gotten funding to redo the runway, and then the FAA put the brakes on the funding, saying, oh, wait a second, you haven't had a master plan for 10 years.
And this has been about 12 years.
Yeah, this has been 12 years. We did do an update on our master plan at about 5 or 6 years. But, I guess what I'm suggesting is maybe we should have funding in here for a master plan at some step here, too.
Tim and I actually talked about that before the meeting. In one thought at a lot of airports, we've done the geometry for the airport, so I don't know if a master plan is really necessary, but in lieu of a master plan, what you can do is an ALP update, which is a short form of doing a master plan.
Well,
the master plan in the past made sense because we were changing the geometry, but now
if we were going to do that, we would have to probably or might probably want to show something in the center triangle.
Yeah.
And the question then becomes, vehicular access to the center triangle, given the increase in vehicular traffic flow that we would have as a result of hangars there, people coming through gate four and trying to find their way.
I totally, so did I understand you correctly, you want to dig a trench and have a bridge over that?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's a possibility.
Actually, I thought we could build our own version of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Just like the old Denver International, you know, with
yeah.
cars going underneath that. Absolutely.
I will show a master plan in here, and that'll give us a discussion item next week.
Don't they require an ALP update at various intervals as well?
Well, basically,
every year.
The ALP update is included with the master plan. Okay, so, but the master plan is this long-range planning document that includes an ALP update. Now, and that's what I was getting at, is that in some cases, they'll just suggest, well, look, you already have your geometry, that's not going to change, so why don't you just do an ALP update?
And each of you should have a copy of the airport layout plan that identifies the different lease parcels and the tenants that own or lease those parcels. Mm-hmm. It's a real important planning tool.
Look, those are two different things. The ALP is the airport layout plan. It doesn't really, it identifies in general terms the lease areas, but then we also have
the lease parcel
map. The lease parcel map, which actually mm-hmm. identifies each of the leases. But those are documents that, yes.
I think everybody, sure if you don't have one of those, you should see Tim and he should get one for you so you can study the airport. And
yeah, and now Jim and Tim can send it to you electronically, but my advice is get one of the nice printed ones that they can do on the bigger paper so because it's easier to look at and you can still get it electronically too. But
I have plenty of copies right now.
Okay, great. Okay.
So if you don't have one, make sure you see Tim and get one of each.
If you don't mind, just to briefly go back to the business of vehicular access to the inner triangle, is there any particular rule imposed by the FAA on what you can or cannot do in terms of vehicular traffic across a taxiway? Because I think I've seen scenarios, maybe was it Fairbanks and some of the other places I've been where it seems that there are cars zooming all around the infield and crossing over taxiways, and there's sliding gates with flashing lights and all sorts of stuff. Is there a reason why we would have to break the taxiway or have to build a tunnel or a bridge?
Well, we're just determined not to split that taxiway.
Yeah, I fully agree. Can you have a vehicular lane across that taxiway?
I think the FAA...
You mean perpendicular?
FAA never likes the mixing of vehicles and airplanes, but that doesn't mean that we can't do it.
Well, the idea there was to come off Bell Road and it would be fenced so that taxiway Charlie is not a through taxiway.
That's right, but we don't want to do that.
I know that.
That's a one-way street.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And there are some mitigating factors. I mean, we have to have security fences around the airport, and it makes more sense to have that security fence at the entrance to that area. And then once you're on that area, we should only be allowing vehicles that are on the area that have the sense to stop when they see an airplane taxiing and use that kind of control. You know, there's two factions within the FAA that we have to deal with to answer your question, Carl. One is the FAA Airports Division, who tends to take a more reasonable view towards those kinds of issues. And the other one is the Runway Safety Group, which is out of L.A. They come up once every couple of years, and they don't like anything. I mean, they're very hypercritical of anything that could possibly have a safety aspect. And the last time they came up, Jim and I were with them, and it was interesting because we had an argument going in the vehicle between the airports guy and the runway safety guys, and the runway safety guys would tear out that piece of pavement, and the airports guy was saying, we're not tearing out that piece of pavement, and we just sat back and let the guys argue. So there is some play that goes on there, but...
Was it the safety guy who was driving the truck at the time?
No, I don't. Yeah, I can't remember, but...
Any other questions or comments from board members to Mr. Clegg on the ACIP?
Right. So, anyway, I suggest that all we need is a vote of...
Your way.
I totally...
So did I understand you correctly? You want to dig a trench and have a bridge over that?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's a possibility.
Actually, I thought we could build our own version of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Just like the old Denver International, you know, with
yeah.
cars going underneath that. Absolutely.
I will show a master plan in here, and that'll give us a discussion item next week.
Don't they require an ALP update at various intervals as well?
Well, basically,
every year.
The ALP update is included with the master plan. Okay, so, but the master plan is this long-range planning document that includes an ALP update. Now, and that's what I was getting at, is that in some cases, they'll just suggest, well, look, you already have your geometry, that's not going to change, so why don't you just do an ALP update?
And each of you should have a copy of the airport layout plan that identifies the different lease parcels and the tenants that own or lease those parcels. Mm-hmm. It's a real important planning tool.
Look, those are two different things. The ALP is the airport layout plan. It doesn't really, it identifies in general terms the lease areas, but then we also have
the lease parcel
map. The lease parcel map, which actually identifies each of the leases. But those are documents that, yes.
I think everybody, if you don't have one of those, you should see Tim and he should get one for you so you can study the airport. And
yeah, and now Jim and Tim can send it to you electronically, but my advice is get one of the nice printed ones that they can do on the bigger paper so because it's easier to look at and you can still get it electronically too. But
I have plenty of copies right now.
Okay, great.
So if you don't have one, make sure you see Tim and get one of each.
If you don't mind, just to briefly go back to the business of vehicular access to the inner triangle, is there any particular rule imposed by the FAA on what you can or cannot do in terms of vehicular traffic across a taxiway? Because I think I've seen scenarios, maybe was it Fairbanks and some of the other places I've been where it seems that there are cars zooming all around the infield and crossing over taxiways, and there's sliding gates with flashing lights and all sorts of stuff. Is there a reason why we would have to break the taxiway or have to build a tunnel or a bridge?
Well, we're just determined not to split that taxiway.
Yeah, I fully agree. Can you have a vehicular lane across that taxiway?
I think the FAA...
You mean perpendicular?
FAA never likes the mixing of vehicles and airplanes, but that doesn't mean that we can't do it.
Well, the idea there was to come off Bell Road and it would be fenced so that Taxiway Charlie is not a through taxiway.
That's right, but we don't want to do that.
I know that.
That's a one-way street.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And there are some mitigating factors. I mean, we have to have security fences around the airport, and it makes more sense to have that security fence at the entrance to that area. And then once you're on that area, we should only be allowing vehicles that are on the area that have the sense to stop when they see an airplane taxiing and use that kind of control. You know, there's two factions within the FAA that we have to deal with to answer your question, Carl. One is the FAA Airports Division, who tends to take a more reasonable view towards those kinds of issues. And the other one is the Runway Safety Group, which is out of L.A. They come up once every couple of years, and they don't like anything. I mean, they're very hypercritical of anything that could possibly have a safety aspect. And the last time they came up, Jim and I were with them, and it was interesting because we had an argument going in the vehicle between the airports guy and the runway safety guys, and the runway safety guys would tear out that piece of pavement, and the airports guy was saying, we're not tearing out that piece of pavement, and we just sat back and let the guys argue. So there is some play that goes on there, but...
Was it the safety guy who was driving the truck at the time?
No, I don't. Yeah, I can't remember, but.
Any other questions or comments from board members to Mr. Clegg on the ACIP?
Right. So, anyway, I suggest that all we need is a vote of confidence with what we've got, I guess.
Well, let me suggest a motion. It's important that we have this approved because after the meeting that these guys have with the FAA is going to ask for a really quick turnaround of our final version of our ACIP. And, of course, we're a public body. We act by open meetings. We don't want to have a meeting after they get back next week, you know, over Christmas, so you can approve that. So what we're asking for you today is to approve the plan as presented, subject to any minor modifications that need to be made by the representatives who will be down there, which is namely Harlow, Tim, and Jim, to satisfy the FAA and to get as much as we can. And so my recommended motion to you is to approve the ACIP as presented and as modified by the comments of the authority tonight and authorize the chairman, the airport engineer, and the airport manager to make such minor changes to that plan as are necessary to achieve FAA approval. That's the motion.
I have one other question. We're talking about a local share here. That's provided by who?
That's provided by us, the local share.
Yeah, the local share is 6.25% of every project has to be paid by the airport.
Right, and that would come out of local funding, right, from taxpayers' money, et cetera.
Well, that comes out of our budget, the airport authority's funds.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the short version of that is every time you get on a commercial airlines, part of your fare is a federal ticket tax. Mm-hmm. That federal ticket tax funds the Federal Aviation Trust Fund, and that Federal Aviation Trust Fund in turn is used to improve airports and provide airport facilities across the country. However, for us to get some of that money back that we all paid in our ticket tax, we have to match it. And the matching ratio is
ours is 6.25.
6.25% is what we have to come up with.
Pays for the remainder, 93.75.
Right, and that would come out of profits from the airport, from gas sales and things like
correct.
That.
Correct. It comes out of our general budget, which is a combination of revenues that we take in, largely from the lease rates that we charge to all the tenants out there, actually the large lease rates, the tax revenues, because Carson City transfers to us the real property taxes on the buildings that are on the hangars, the improvements to the real property.
One third of that.
Yeah, well, they transfer to us the portion that they end up with. Because part of that goes to the school fund and everything else. And then we also have the personal property tax on all the aircraft.
Right.
The portion the city gets out of that, they transfer to us. And then we have the other revenue sources that Tim works on, like, you know, the rock sales and things like that.
Right.
And those are our revenue sources. And then we have expenses, obviously. We have salaries of employees. We have maintenance expenses. We have utilities. We pay all those. And what's left over there from that is the money that we will utilize to use for matching funds.
Okay. So none of this is actual taxpayers' money coming into the year?
That's correct. We have never taken any taxpayer money in the history of the airport authority,
okay,
which has been since 1989. Prior to that, it was owned by the city, and yes, it was supported by tax revenues.
Mayor Masako used to look at it differently, though. He said we allowed you to keep 33%.
Yeah, well, you know, he had his view, but in truth, we made a deal with the city. The city acquired some land from John Serpa at the east end of the airport for a safety area. And the city owed a monthly payment on that loan because John had to lend the money back to the city to buy it. We traded to the city. We said, we'll take over that loan, but you have to start transferring to us in perpetuity these taxes, the real property taxes on the hangars and the personal property tax on the airplanes. And at the time, the city thought that was a really good deal, and they made that deal. Now, we've since paid off the note to SERPA, and so from our standpoint, that was a pretty darn good deal. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, some people, like like former Mayor Maseko, who's a great guy, by the way, but he just remembers it differently. I have all the notes, and I have the city action, because I'm always worried that someday we're going to elect in new people who weren't there and don't have that institutional memory, and they're going to say, hey, we're taking it back.
Confidence with what we've got, I guess.
Well, let me suggest a motion. It's important that we have this approved, because after the meeting that these guys have with the FAA, the FAA is going to ask for a really quick turnaround of our final version of our ACIP. And, of course, we're a public body. We act by open meetings. We don't want to have a meeting after they get back next week, over Christmas, so you can approve that. So what we're asking for you today is to approve the plan as presented, subject to any minor modifications that need to be made by the representatives who will be down there, which is namely Harlow, Tim, and Jim, to satisfy the FAA and to get as much as we can. And so my recommended motion to you is to approve the ACIP as presented and as modified by the comments of the authority tonight, and authorize the chairman, the airport engineer, and the airport manager to make such minor changes to that plan as are necessary to achieve FAA approval. That's the motion.
I have one other question. We're talking about a local share here. That's provided by who?
That's provided by us, the local share.
Yeah, the local share is 6.25% of every project has to be paid by the airport.
Right, and that would come out of local funding, right, from taxpayers' money, et cetera.
Well, that comes out of our budget, the airport authority's funds.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the short version of that is every time you get on a commercial airlines, part of your fare is a federal ticket tax. Mm-hmm. That federal ticket tax funds the Federal Aviation Trust Fund, and that Federal Aviation Trust Fund in turn is used to improve airports and provide airport facilities across the country. However, for us to get some of that money back that we all paid in our ticket tax, we have to match it. And the matching ratio is 6?
Ours is 6.25.
6.25% is what we have to come up with.
Pays for the remainder, 93.75.
Right. And that would come out of profits from the airport, from gas sales and things like
correct.
That.
Correct. It comes out of our general budget, which is a combination of revenues that we take in, largely from the lease rates that we charge to all the tenants out there, mm-hmm. actually the large lease rates, the tax revenues, because Carson City transfers to us the real property taxes on the buildings that are on the hangars, the improvements to the real property.
One third of that.
Yeah, well, they transfer to us the portion that they end up with, because part of that goes to the school fund and everything else. And then we also have the personal property tax on all the aircraft.
Right.
The portion the city gets out of that, they transfer to us. And then we have the other revenue sources that Tim works on, like, you know, the rock sales and things like that.
Right.
And those are our revenue sources. And then we have expenses, obviously. We have salaries of employees. We have maintenance expenses. We have utilities. We pay all those. And what's left over there from that is the money that we will utilize to use for matching funds.
Okay, so none of this is actual taxpayers' money coming into the airport.
That's correct. We have never taken any taxpayer money in the history of the airport authority.
Okay.
Which has been since 1989. Prior to that, it was owned by the city, and yes, it was supported by tax revenues.
Mayor Maseko used to look at it differently, though. He said we allowed you to keep
33%. Yeah, well, you know, he had his view, but in truth, we made a deal with the city. The city acquired some land from John Serpa at the east end of the airport for a safety area, and the city owed a monthly payment on that loan, because John had to lend the money back to the city to buy it. We traded to the city. We said, we'll take over that loan, but you have to start transferring to us in perpetuity these taxes, the real property taxes on the hangars and the personal property tax on the airplanes. And at the time, the city thought that was a really good deal, and they made that deal. Now, we've since paid off the note to Serpa, and so from our standpoint, that was a pretty darn good deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, some people like former Mayor Maseko, who's a great guy, by the way, but he just remembers it differently. I have all the notes, and I have the city action, because I'm always worried that someday we're going to elect in new people who weren't there and don't have that institutional memory, and they're going to say, hey, we're taking it back.
Okay. Any other questions from board members for Mr. Clegg on this agenda item? If none, members of the public who might wish to comment on this agenda item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board and ask for any further discussion. If there is none, then we would stand in need of a motion. And, Council, you might want to...
Yeah, the motion I would suggest that somebody makes is that you approve the ACIP as presented with the changes made as a result of comments by the authority, and authorize the chairman, the airport manager, and the airport engineer to make such minor changes as are necessary to obtain FAA approval at their meeting.
I'll give that a shot if you like.
The changes made included adding a perimeter fence, adjacent fence, taxi lanes in the center triangle, and funding for a master plan.
Right.
Or a master plan update.
Okay. Then I will move, as Steve said so eloquently, that we approve the Airport Capital Improvement Program as stated in our packets, with the understanding that there'll be additional minor changes, including potentially, that were discussed at this meeting, including potentially airport perimeter fence, a update to the airport master plan or ALP, taxi lanes in the inner triangle, and other such amendments or modifications, and that we send forward the team to the FAA and this month to present that and make any additional changes they need to get approval from the FAA.
Motion has been made and is on the table. Do we have a second?
Second, as stated.
Made and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any, by the same sign. Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Pardon me?
You've taken action on it. I wanted to point out one thing just to keep in the back of your mind, which is, as Jim said, you know, the earlier projects are more critical in terms of timing. You may find it appropriate to switch the order of some of the pavement areas.
Right.
And one reason that may prompt you to switch it is the area that's, it's the Wickersham lease area and pavement. That lease comes back to the airport in, I believe it's 2017. In fact, mm-hmm. I think it's August 20 of 2017, if my memory serves me correctly. And so we may, depending on when we get close to paving that, we may either want to switch those around so that it comes back to the airport before we pave it, or if we're going to pave it earlier, we make some arrangements to address his lease.
And that's project 2 and 3?
That's project 2 and 3, correct. And so I'm just pointing that out. I'm not suggesting you take any action or anything. Mm-hmm. Just want to give you a heads up that when we get down there, down the road there, we're going to want to make sure that we do it in a way that it best qualifies for FAA funding.
I know that Al Arrow and Clickmon both would like to see that ramp replaced as soon as we possibly
can. Yeah. No question about it.
Collection of pebbles.
Okay, item number H, engineer's report.
Okay, I'm going to kind of expand on the FAA program. One of the first things that happens after you do a master plan or an ALP update is you got to get environmental clearance for your projects before the FAA will consider any funding. So, the first item, one of the things we're doing is an environmental assessment for the North Apron and the perimeter road to get environmental clearance and We already know that there's some mitigation required for the North Apron because they found some cultural resources. They found some arrowheads. The mitigation, which we already know is going to be the case, is to have an archaeologist standing around when we do the earthwork on the North Apron.
Okay.
Any other questions from board members for Mr. Clegg on this agenda item? If none, members of the public who might wish to comment on this agenda item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board and ask for any further discussion. If there is none, then we would stand in need of a motion. And, Council, you might want to...
Yeah, the motion I would suggest that somebody makes is that you approve the ACIP as presented with the changes made as a result of comments by the authority and authorize the chairman, the airport manager, and the airport engineer to make such minor changes as are necessary to obtain FAA approval at their meeting. The changes made included adding a perimeter fence, adjacent fence, taxi lanes in the center triangle, and funding for a master plan.
Right.
Or a master plan update.
Okay, then I will move, as Steve said so eloquently, that we approve the airport capital improvement program as stated in our packets with the understanding that there'll be additional minor changes, including potentially, that were discussed at this meeting, including potentially an airport perimeter fence, an update to the airport master plan or ALP, taxi lanes in the inner triangle, and other such amendments or modifications, and that we send forward the team to the FAA and this month to present that and make any additional changes they need to get approval from the FAA.
Motion has been made and is on the table. Do we have a second?
Second, as stated.
Made and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any, by the same sign. Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Pardon me?
You've taken action on it. I wanted to point out one thing just to keep in the back of your mind, which is, as Jim said, you know, the earlier projects are more critical in terms of timing. You may find it appropriate to switch the order of some of the pavement areas. Right. And one reason that may prompt you to switch it is the area that's, it's the Wickersham lease area and pavement. That lease comes back to the airport in, I believe it's 2017. In fact, mm-hmm. I think it's August 20 of 2017, if my memory serves me correctly. And so we may, depending on when we get close to paving that, we may either want to switch those around so that it comes back to the airport before we pave it, or if we're going to pave it earlier, we make some arrangements to address his lease.
And that's project 2 and 3?
That's project 2 and 3, correct. And so I'm just pointing that out. I'm not suggesting you take any action or anything. Mm-hmm. Just want to give you a heads up that when we get down there, down the road there, we're going to want to make sure that we do it in a way that it best qualifies for FAA funding.
I know that Al Errol and Clickmon both would like to see that ramp replaced as soon as we possibly
can. Yeah. No question about it.
Collection of pebbles.
Okay, item number H, engineer's report.
Okay, I'm going to kind of expand on the FAA program. One of the first things that happens after you do a master plan or an ALP update is you got to get environmental clearance for your projects before the FAA will consider any funding. So, the first item, one of the things we're doing is an environmental assessment for the North Apron and the perimeter road to get environmental clearance and We already know that there's some mitigation required for the North Apron because they found some cultural resources. They found some arrowheads. The mitigation, which we already know is going to be the case, is to have an archaeologist standing around when we do the earthwork on the North Apron, so that if they run into anything, he can stop the construction and then they can start doing excavation. So that's the plan. But right now, the procedure is with an environmental assessment, is they write up the procedures, what has to happen. They submit this plan to the FAA, and if they think that that's feasible, fine. Usually other things like the main apron reconstruction, for instance, we've got environmental clearance within weeks because it's simply a reconstruction project of existing pavement. So typically an environmental assessment's only necessary for new construction, but in this case, they knew that there was an issue, and so they required an environmental assessment. So anyway, that's what's happening right now at the North Apron. They're nearly, our environmental folks are nearly done with the draft report. Once they're finished with that, that'll get sent to Tim and to the FAA for review and comment, and then once we get comments back, they can finish it up and submit it, and then the FAA will give a finding of no significant impact, a FONSI, they call it. So that's the EA Phase 2. The main apron reconstruction, we're currently designing that right now. There is an existing FAA grant that is in place to fund that design. And of course, the airport's paying for 6.25% of that cost. And so then once we get done with that design, we'll put that project out to bid. And then once we get the bids back, we put together a grant application to the FAA. So you'll see at the back end, you know, I estimated the cost of the grant, the whole project in 2013 to be $1.6 million. That includes just construction and the inspection and materials testing during the project. Okay. Right now it's only an estimate, and they've tentatively agreed to that amount. But what we have to do to actually get a grant from the FAA is to put it out to bid after the design, and then they'll give us a grant based on the actual cost of the project. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at with the main apron right now. The project referred to as the taxiway B and C slurry seal and striping project. We got the pavement patches done. We did the crack sealing. But then we ran into weather, and we decided not to proceed with the slurry seal until sometime next spring when we can expect warmer temperatures. Because they need consistent warm temperature to come out good. We could have gambled and tried it, but there's no point.
No, it doesn't work.
So then the only other project we got going on is the AGIS survey, which is Harlow's favorite. And Harlow can probably explain the purpose behind that better, but where we're at right now is that Foth, who is a sub-consultant to Atkins to get this done. This is a specialized 3D aerial mapping project that they did to identify obstructions that might affect the airport on approach. And so I asked what their findings are to date, and they wouldn't give me any. They said, we never give out the results until we're done. And that's probably a smart thing to do.
But, you know, we're certainly anticipating that that survey...
So that if they run into anything, he can stop the construction, and then they can start doing excavation. So that's the plan. But right now, the procedure is with an environmental assessment, is they write up the procedures, what has to happen. They submit this plan to the FAA, and if they think that that's feasible, fine. Usually other things like the main apron reconstruction, for instance, we've got environmental clearance within weeks because it's simply a reconstruction project of existing pavement. So typically an environmental assessment's only necessary for new construction, where, but in this case they knew that there was an issue and so they required an environmental assessment. So anyway, that's what's happening right now at the North Apron. They're nearly, our environmental folks are nearly done with the draft report. Once they're finished with that, that'll get sent to Tim and to the FAA for review and comment. And then once we get comments back, they can finish it up and submit it. And then the FAA will give a finding of no significant impact, a FONSI, they call it. So that's the EA Phase 2. The main apron reconstruction, we're currently designing that right now. There is an existing FAA grant that is in place to fund that design. And of course, the airport's paying for 6.25% of that cost. And so then once we get done with that design, we'll put that project out to bid. And then once we get the bids back, we put together a grant application to the FAA. So you'll see at the back end, you know, I estimated the cost of the grant, the whole project in 2013 to be $1.6 million. And that includes just construction and the inspection and materials testing during the project. Okay, right now it's only an estimate, and they've tentatively agreed to that amount. But what we have to do to actually get a grant from the FAA is to put it out to bid after the design, and then they'll give us a grant based on the actual cost of the project. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at with the main apron right now. The project referred to as the taxiway B and C slurry seal and striping project. We got the pavement patches done. We did the crack sealing. But then we ran into weather, and we decided not to proceed with the slurry seal until sometime next spring, when we can expect warmer temperatures. Because they need consistent warm temperature to come out good. We could have gambled and tried it, but there's no point.
No, it doesn't work.
So then the only other project we got going on is the AGIS survey, which is Harlow's favorite. Harlow can probably explain the purpose behind that better, but where we're at right now is Foth, who is a sub-consultant to Atkins to get this done. This is a specialized 3D aerial mapping project that they did to identify obstructions that might affect the airport on approach. And so I asked what their findings are to date, and they wouldn't give me any. They said, we never give out the results until we're done. And that's probably a smart thing to do. Okay.
But, you know, we're certainly anticipating that that survey will allow the removal of the night restrictions.
Yeah.
On our current circling approach and also the straight-in approach, which will be coming in about the March time frame, I guess. And depending on the obstructions, may allow for an approach with lower minima.
In category C, maybe?
Well, yeah, it might. We're hoping for a straight-in category C and circling category D, which I don't know, you know, if we will get. But also, this approach is going to be surveyed as LNAV only. And depending on the actual location of those obstructions would determine whether or not we could get lower minimums vis-a-vis LNAV, VNAV, or even LPV, which we just don't know right now. But when those results are published, and the National Flight Procedures Office in Seattle has the opportunity to look at those with respect to our approaches, we're hoping, you know, for those improvements.
From your understanding, the approach development process is ongoing for our runway 27 approach. It will run its own course. Does the timing play in? Like, do we have to beat something? Like, once the ink is dry on that approach, you're not going to now get a modification for a long while? Or is it, when we get this done, we get this done?
This approach is based on our existing third-party survey.
Right.
But the AEGIS survey, which is a great deal more accurate and up-to-date, may allow, and we anticipate that it will allow, the removing, number one, the removing of restrictions that now exist with the our current approach. And if the straight-in approach is fielded before the results of this survey are made available to the Flight Procedures Office in Seattle, we're hoping that once that does happen, then a future publication cycle would remove those restrictions and expand our capability. Obviously, we feel that Category C minimums are critical to attract airplanes that we are hoping to attract in the future. And just about any airplane who lands straight in approach category C is probably going to be D for circling, given ref speed plus 20 for the circle. And so, you know, we're hoping for category D minimum. I guess that's our pie in the sky hope. But and that's why we invested our own money in the runway vertical survey.
One other thing is that Leonard has written that they don't give us the category that we like, we can request a waiver.
We can. And we're much more likely to get that with the AEGIS survey.
We're much likely to get D and C and possibly D also.
But those incremental changes that might be possible with the conclusion of the survey,
that's right,
don't require the same time span, like a full re-roll of the procedure development.
I don't
it can
think
be
so.
A, an yeah. incremental.
Tim has done most of the communication with them, but that's my impression, right, Tim?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And basically, the AEGIS survey is the determinant on much of the approaches, and because right now the only one correction I have to make is this is being developed as a WAS approach. So there, what we're concerned about is the category C, but we can submit the request for waiver to have that met, even after the approach approach.
So you think this has been drawn as now the removal of the night restrictions?
Yeah.
On our current circling approach and also the straight in approach, which will be coming in about the March time frame, I guess. And depending on the obstructions, may allow for an approach with lower minima.
In category C minima?
Well, yeah, it might. We're hoping for a straight in category C and circling category D, which I don't know, you know, if we will get. But also, this approach is going to be surveyed as L-nailed only. And depending on the actual location of those obstructions would determine whether or not we could get lower minimums vis-a-vis LNAV VNAV or even LPV, which we just don't know right now. But when those results are published in the National Flight Procedures Office in Seattle has the opportunity to look at those with respect to our approaches. We're hoping, you know, for those improvements.
From your understanding, the approach development process is ongoing for our runway 27 approach. It will run its own course. Does the timing play in? Like, do we have to beat something? Like, once the ink is dry on that approach, you're not going to now get a modification for a long while? Or is it, when we get this done, we get this done?
This approach is based on our existing third-party survey.
Right.
But the AEGIS survey, which is a great deal more accurate and up-to-date, may allow, and we anticipate that it will allow, the removing, number one, the removing of restrictions that now exist with the our current approach. And if the straight-in approach is fielded before the results of this survey are made available to the Flight Procedures Office in Seattle, we're hoping that once that does happen, then a future publication cycle would remove those restrictions and expand our capability. Obviously, we feel that Category C minimums are critical to attract airplanes that we are hoping to attract in the future. And just about any airplane who lands straight in approach category C is probably going to be D for circling given ref speed plus 20 for the circle. And so, you know, we're hoping for category D minimum. I guess that's our pie in the sky hope. But and that's why we invested our own money in the runway vertical survey. That
one other thing is that when it is written, they don't give us the category that we like, we can request a waiver.
We can. And we're much more likely to get that with the AEGIS survey.
We're much likely to get D, C, and possibly D also.
But those incremental changes that might be possible with the conclusion of the survey,
that's right,
don't require the same time span, like a full re-roll of the procedure development.
I don't
it can
think
be
so.
A, an yeah. incremental.
Tim has done most of the communication with them, but that's my impression, right, Tim?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And basically, the AEGIS survey is the determinant on much of the approaches, and because right now the only one correction I have to make is this is being developed as an as a WAS approach. So there, what we're concerned about is the category C, but we can submit the request for waiver to have that met, even after the approach is published.
So you think this has been drawn as a with LPV minimums?
What they told me.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Well, anyway, that's all I have. These aren't action items for an engineer's report. It's just informational. But if you have any questions on any of those, I can answer them.
What was the nature of the change order number one on the BNC rehab?
Oh, what that was is we did some additional pavement patching. We included the slurry seal for the parking lot, and we included some patching and track repair and slurry seal for the taxi lane west of the Carson Air Bridge.
And we have previously approved the cost of that change order.
That's correct. Self-funded item.
Yeah. But let me expand on that a little bit. There are ineligible construction costs, and those are ineligible. But the FAA is not going to pay for that, and that's why there was action in the last meeting.
A special meeting.
Yeah. But then there's also portions of the original project that are also ineligible because, for instance, the 20 feet in front of a hangar, the FAA considers that to be exclusive use by the hangar tenant.
They're pretty specific about that.
Yeah, and so they won't reimburse that either. So. That 20 feet all in front of the hangars along taxi lane or taxiway Bravo is ineligible. And then we also have the same situation over there with Will Fletcher's hangar. That's a public taxi lane, but and the lease line's right at the face of the hangar. But we can't pay for. We can't get reimbursement from the FAA for the 20 feet in front of them.
So as part of that special meeting and the approvals, for, you know, I apologize, that was the one I was missing from, in the stuff that we elected to self-fund, the ineligible items, did we include the 20 feet in front of those hangars, or is that something we've just...
No, that's skipped? Always been included, okay. Yes.
Okay. Let's move on.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the time frame that you expect to hear on that AGIS survey?
Boy, soon.
Well, actually, what they told me was that they should be done in January.
Okay, thank you. Good.
Well, actually, ready to submit to the FAA now. Now, how long it takes the FAA, I don't know. And like I said, it's a 3D survey. So actually, I'm going to talk to them about maybe making a presentation with the PowerPoint at the other location. Because that's pretty impressive. We got a demonstration here at the terminal when they proposed doing this, and it was pretty good. You have to wear special glasses to see the 3D effect, but it's pretty interesting.
just you know, you think of the cost of that, but just think of one Gulfstream 550 that holds 7,000 gallons of fuel and pays $400,000 a year in personal property tax. Yes. Not to mention the fuel flowage fees that come to the airport.
That's pretty decent revenue.
So,
It
would be worth it.
We've rented the boat. Now we just have to catch the fish.
That's right. We've built it. Now we want them to come. Okay, airport manager's report.
Thank you. Okay, on or about last week on the 28th, our friends across the way, Global Resources, vacated the airport. So we don't know what happened. I verified with El Aero Services that they are no longer leasing from them. So it may be, I'll check with council.
With LPV minimums?
What they told me.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Well, anyway, that's all I have. These aren't action items for an engineer's report. It's just informational. But if you have any questions on any of those, I can answer them.
What was the nature of the change order number one on the BNC rehab?
Oh, what that was is we did some additional pavement patching. We included the slurry seal for the parking lot, and we included some patching and track repair and slurry seal for the taxi lane west of the Carson Air Bridge.
And we have previously approved the cost of that change order.
That's correct. Self-funded item.
Yeah. But let me expand on that a little bit. There are ineligible construction costs, and those are ineligible. But the FAA is not going to pay for that. And that's why there was action in the last meeting.
A special meeting.
Yeah. But then there's also portions of the original project that are also ineligible because, for instance, the 20 feet in front of a hangar, the FAA considers that to be exclusive use by the hangar tenant.
They're pretty specific about that.
Yeah. And so they won't reimburse that either. So that 20 feet all in front of the hangars along taxi lane or taxiway Bravo is ineligible. And then we also have the same situation over there with Will Fletcher's hangar. That's a public taxi lane, but and the lease line's right at the face of the hangar, but we can't pay for, or we can't get reimbursement from the FAA for the 20 feet front end.
So as part of that special meeting and the approvals for, I apologize, that was the one I was missing from, in the stuff that we elected to self-fund, the ineligible items, did we include the 20 feet in front of those hangars, or is that something we've just...
No, that's always been included. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Let's move on.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the time frame that you expect to hear on that AGIS survey?
Boy, soon.
Well, actually, what they told me was that they should be done in January.
Okay, thank you.
Well, actually, ready to submit to the FAA now. Now, how long it takes the FAA, I don't know. And like I said, it's a 3D survey. So actually, I'm going to talk to them about maybe making a presentation with the PowerPoint at the other location. Because that's pretty impressive. We got a demonstration here at the terminal when they proposed doing this, and it was pretty good. You have to wear special glasses to see the 3D effect, but it's pretty interesting.
just you know, you think of the cost of that, but just think of one Gulfstream 550 that holds 7,000 gallons of fuel and pays $400,000 a year in personal property tax. Yes. Not to mention the fuel flowage fees that come to the airport.
That's pretty decent revenue.
So
It
would be worth it.
We've rented the boat. Now we just have to catch the fish.
That's right. We've built it. Now we want them to come. Okay, airport manager's report.
Thank you.
Okay, on or about last week on the 28th, our friends across the way, Global Resources, vacated the airport. So we don't know what happened. I verified with Alero Services that they are no longer leasing from them. So it may be, I'll check with council and determine whether we need to agendize that in the January meeting to remove their Class 2 FBO status. Our airport truck finally died.
The little green truck?
The little green truck finally died. That will also have to go on the January agenda. November 6th, I sent an email out to everyone regarding some fence damage. Artistic will be repairing that. The young lady who got a little sauce that night, who damaged the fence, is going to make restitution through the DA's office. They have been given the information on the charge, so it will not cost the airport or bother our insurance company with repairing that. So that's all I have.
Okay, anybody question?
I just want to ask Tim, did we ever figure out either with Nancy Paulson or you how to access the FAA funds? Are we now getting funds from the FAA?
We ran into a little bit of snag with the way Atkins invoices. We're working that out so we can start drawing our money down for AIP 23, the rehab of the taxiways and the main apron design. Everything we've been logged in, Nancy knows how to do it, and so right now we're starting to get our money back, and we will be getting probably somewhat over $100,000 back in the next couple of weeks once we get the invoicing ironed out.
Thank you.
Okay, board members, questions for the airport manager, comments? Seeing none, legal counsel's report.
I just have one thing that I have to gravely advise you of, and that is that each of you are strongly cautioned to have a very happy and Merry Christmas. That's all I have.
We violated the open meeting law again.
That's all I have.
Well, humbug.
Going to Disneyland, I like that. That's good.
Thank you, Steve. Treasurer's report. Tim, do you have some balances for us that you can give us?
Yeah, I did print something out.
Want a part-time job, Alex?
No. In our money market, we have $344,395.89. In the checking account, we have $14,644.40. And in our maintenance account, we have $56,059.24. Like I mentioned a little bit ago, out of our outlays that we will be drawing down for existing projects, we should be getting back $98,812.
And what about rock sales? What are the projections?
Rock sales are going to be stagnant over the next 3 to 4 months simply because of the wintertime. They will pick up again approximately April, possibly May, depending on the season.
They're doing a great job down there for those of you that haven't driven by. You know, it's happy with that. Report from authority members.
Just that the movement of the airplanes over to North Park back in Nevada Day went fine. The only issue was the B-25. There was concerns not getting it there, but concerns getting it back off of the grass. They were afraid they would damage the front landing gear. So everything else was fine and moved well. And did they repair the fence?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we've made it, we paired it in such a way that if they use it again, it could be easily done.
They're planning on doing it again.
It can be easily done. The one thing that has not been taken care of yet is they have not cleared the ditch. But I think what we'll do is, if we can get some cooperation from Centerlite, is to clear the ditch and put a culvert or two in, and then pack it down again, and that way it can be used over and over again. This is what we're looking at, and determine whether we need to agendize that in the January meeting to remove their Class 2 FPO status. Our airport truck finally died.
The little green truck?
The little green truck finally died. That will also have to go on the January agenda. November 6th, I sent an email out to everyone regarding some fence damage. Artistic will be repairing that. The young lady who got a little sauce that night, who damaged the fence, is going to make restitution through the DA's office. They have been given the information on the charge, so it will not cost the airport or bother our insurance company with repairing that. So that's all I have.
Okay, anybody question?
I just want to ask Tim, did we ever figure out, either with Nancy Paulson or you, how to access the FAA funds? Are we now getting funds from the FAA?
We ran into a little bit of snag with the way Atkins invoices. We're working that out so we can start drawing our money down for AIP 23, the rehab of the taxiways and the main apron design. Everything, we've been logged in. Nancy knows how to do it, and so right now we're starting to get our money back, and we will be getting probably somewhat over $100,000 back in the next couple of weeks once we get the invoicing ironed out.
Thank you.
Okay, board members, questions for the airport manager, comments? Seeing none, legal counsel's report.
I just have one thing that I have to gravely advise you of, and that is that each of you are strongly cautioned to have a very happy and Merry Christmas. That's all I have.
I thought we'd violated the open meeting law again.
That's all I have.
Well, humbug.
Going to Disneyland, I like that. That's good.
Thank you, Steve. Treasurer's report. Tim, do you have some balances for us that you can give us?
Yeah, I did print something out.
Want a part-time job, Alex?
No. In our money market, we have $344,395.89. In the checking account, we have $14,644.40. And in our maintenance account, we have $56,059.24. Like I mentioned a little bit ago, out of our outlays that we will be drawing down for existing projects, we should be getting back $98,812.
And what about rock sales? What are the projections?
Rock sales are going to be stagnant over the next 3 to 4 months simply because of the winter time. They will pick up again approximately April, possibly May, depending on the season.
They're doing a great job down there for those of you that haven't driven by. You know, it's happy with that. Okay. Report from authority members.
Just that the movement of the airplanes over to North Park back in Nevada Day went fine. The only issue was the B-25. There was concerns not getting it there, but concerns getting it back off of the grass. They were afraid they would damage the front landing gear. So everything else was fine and moved well. And did they repair the fence?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we've made it, repaired it in such a way that if they use it again, it could be easily done.
They're planning on doing it again.
It can be easily done. The one thing that has not been taken care of yet is they have not cleared the ditch. But I think what we'll do is, if we can get some cooperation from Centerlite, is to clear the ditch and put a culvert or two in, and then pack it down again, and that way it can be used over and over again. This is what we're leaning towards doing.
Good. Thank you, Ray. Don't have any dynamite with you or anything, do you?
No, we burned that.
Okay.
It's a good story.
Okay. Public comment. Any members of the public who might wish to comment at this point? Yes.
I just have one thing. I thought it might come up in this meeting, but it didn't. And I just wanted to convey to this body that the city of Elko is looking for an airport director. And so anyone with aviation knowledge or background, or even just background in, I understand that we're just looking. And we need somebody to apply before December the 14th. And so if anybody knows anybody, we're looking for someone strong to come in and please make application.
Who was so, that? Was that?
He got another job. He will be going to Wenatchee, Washington, effective January 1.
I'll go beat him up so I can go to Wenatchee.
Effective January 1. And so we are looking for
someone. Any idea what that pays, Jan?
Yes, it pays between, depending on experience, it pays between 75 and 94.
Let's talk. Is that more than Carson City pays?
See it, Jim.
75?
75 and 94.
Dang.
Yeah.
I'm worth it more.
Okay.
So really we're looking for something.
No.
Well, Tim, can you make sure and write that down so that we can talk about that?
I can send you that information.
Okay, well, could you do that?
I will.
Send it to Tim.
I will.
Excellent. Okay, great. Thank you, Jenna, very much.
You have 9 days to get your application.
Any other public comment from members of the public? Seeing none, agenda items for next regular meeting, I don't have anything. The truck.
The truck, possibly class two status for Global Resources, yeah. And I think that's all I have for next
week.
Then
I think we will also have an amendment to an El Aero lease probably in January.
Yes. Okay.
Can we approach the city on that and get one of their old vehicles?
Well, Tim has a plan.
I've got things in the works.
Okay.
But nothing's written in stone.
But yes. I mean, anything and everything. But
There is one other place you might look to is Southwest Gas.
Yes, sir. Been there, done that.
Okay, because they donated one vehicle to us.
Yeah. I've even talked to the fire department over here because they have a real nice truck over there that they won't even talk to me about. And it's been sitting there for 6 months.
Guy was driving a beautiful truck. Maybe we could get his.
I told him I was trading the other.
You got rid of the old blue?
The blue one's gone.
He was driving this monster. You know, he needed a ladder to get in the thing.
That's just because there's too much air in the tires.
Okay, we're up to action on adjournment, and we stand in need of a motion.
I move we adjourn.
I'll second.
Made second. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Great.
Thank you, everybody.